When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talking! Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. Welcome to another Yellow Army podcast from the Paynton studio. We're not sat side by side in a steamed up car in Marnham Road this week.
No. I got a text from a mate saying two men in a parked car in Marnham Road.
It must have looked very suspicious. It must have looked as if we were up to no good.
We were going to rob the bowling club.
Yeah. But here we are. We can spread out a little bit. We've got coffees this week.
Yeah. Need it. It's cold.
It is. Things, for Talker United fans, things haven't got any better this week.
No, they haven't.
A 3-1 defeat at Hampton and Richmond.
We spoke to you last week after that Western Super nightmare.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
I'm not the only person who's done that this week. And then Saturday came.
So I mean, things are on a bit of a slump at the moment at Talker United. I was taken to task last week for saying something during the podcast, saying, "Well, this is, we've just got to settle for this," which I'll clarify. Didn't come across very well, okay. I admit. What I mean is, we're not going to turn this round in a week or 2 weeks.
This
is where we are at the moment, and there's no point. We'll come to this a little bit later on. There's no point in wringing our hands and shouting the odds, because somehow we've got to turn this round as a club, and the body of supporters is part of that club. So it didn't come across very well last week, but what I mean is, this is not an overnight fix. We've all got to dig in.
Yeah.
From players to 50-50 ticket sellers to supporters.
Don't blame the 50-50 ticket sellers.
We're all in this together. I know George Osborne said it and he didn't really mean it, but I know.
Yeah, you've watched that little clip of you online of George. It seems to be in a caravan or something.
We're all in this together. But we are all in this together. And the more we stick together, the better it's going to be.
Should I doorstep him?
You should.
Yeah.
Go and talk to him. So we're recording. It's confusing, Rich, because the clocks went back, I haven't really... The dog still wants feeding an hour early, by the way.
Yeah.
And we've done the we've done the press conference a day early.
On a Wednesday.
And we're podcasting on a Wednesday, but we're not publishing until a Thursday, because we didn't want to over-confuse people.
Sounds like my publishing life at the moment. getting newspapers to the printers on a Tuesday, but they don't go into the shops on a Thursday.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Until a Thursday.
Life is crazy.
Life has changed.
But here's the thing. Look, I'm starting a new podcast book.
Clean sheets of paper ready to document the incredible rise of Talker United.
My previous podcast book, which I started on the 1st of September 2022, is full.
Yeah.
I'm starting a new one. New start, new book, clean slate. Here we go.
Banging the table.
Run of wins. A run of wins comes together and we forget all this doom and gloom.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not buy into it.
Yeah. Well, Gary was in a chipper mood. Now, that might not go down well with some people, because some people might be expecting him to be on the floor crying and you know, whatever they expect. But he was in a chipper mood this morning, and you made the kind of note that he's often in a chipper mood when the chips are down, as it were.
Well, he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. I mean, he's that kind of character.
Yeah.
He's seen all of this before.
I mean, he did take me to task of some of the things I've written in a very Gary way, a very nice way. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's seen all this before. You can't expect him to treat this as if it's the worst calamity he's ever faced.
No, exactly.
And he's turned around much worse than this.
Too long in the tooth for that guy.
So a bit of unity, a bit of bonding, all the way from that 50-50 seller, who I will see on Saturday,
to
right up to the top of the club, up to the owners of the club,
yep.
All in this together. Here we go, onwards and upwards.
So we'll see, we'll talk to you again.
On the other side of Gary Johnson.
I messed that up, didn't I?
So Gaffer, disappointing result on Saturday, but a good second half performance. How have the lads reacted to it in training this week?
Yeah, we've gone over it with a fine tooth comb, and as we always do, and we showed them the good bits, and we showed them the not so good bits, and it's all a part of learning and taking on the job that they've got to do within our way of playing. So it's getting their best game into our best game, and that's the thing that you're always trying to achieve. And it was just really, we got a goal at the end, but it was too late. But we needed to take a couple of chances that we had earlier in that second half to have given us a chance before they went and got their third one when we were trying to get a goal back. But the lads are all right. You know, we're a strong group. We believe in what we're doing. We've got to try and keep their spirit up, which is important. So you chastise them a little bit for the things that they might have done better. And then you say, but we're only chastising you because you're good enough. And that's what we believe, that we are good enough. As we keep saying every week, every team's going to have a few ups and downs. And we are a strong group, and we'll get our ups again. And hopefully the people that have come with us would have played a big part in it, and we appreciate that. Because we got two, probably your next question, but we got two massive games coming up at home. Our home form's good, very good. You know, we've had 6 out of 8, 5 out of 7 in the league. A lot of that is down to our good support that we were having, and we're going to need them again in these two home games, because Bath and Yeovil are going to be bringing their own supporters here, and so we need everybody at the football club getting behind the lads to help them with their confidence.
Callum Dolan came in late last week on loan, straight into the starting lineup. Did well on Saturday for Torquay.
Yeah, he did. He had five shots, I think 6 shots, 3 to keep the save. So that was a good debut for him. He's done well, and he can spot a pass. So he's going to be a real good addition to our squad.
And of course, another loan signing brought in yesterday in the stats of Theo Williams. Yeah. What can you tell us about him?
He's quick. He's not your Aaron Jarvis, as in, you know, that sort of presence strike. He's got presence because of his pace, and obviously that, you know, we were looking for one or two strikers, but so we found one, and now we just need to find another Aaron Jarvis that don't grow on trees. You know what I mean? And as I might be preempting some other questions, but we are trying, and there's not too many big strikers out there that fit the bill.
You've already alluded to it, of course, two big games coming up, Yeovil next Tuesday, starting with Bath on Saturday, but a team that we are currently only 3 points behind. What are you expecting from Bath on Saturday?
Well, we do a lot of homework on opposition. And they're third, so if you're third on 25 points, then you know I think they had a bit of a slow start to the season, but then they've picked up, and they're looking one of the stronger teams in the league, as obviously Yeovil have had an unbelievable run of whatever it is, 10 games without defeat, so they're going well. So we're going to be playing two teams in form. So that's something to look forward to. And as I say, I think that we'll be ready for it, the lads will be ready for it. Hopefully, the supporters will come in and enjoy the two big games at home.
But just to expand on that a little bit, Gary, saying that these two games coming up are games to look forward to. You're very much approaching them on the front foot.
Absolutely, yeah. We don't have a back foot. it looks like it sometimes, but everything we do is still with the aim of getting a promotion, which, as you said, in the case of Bath, they're 25 points. If you get a result against Bath, then you're on the same number of points and they're third at the moment. Now, you're not going to be third because other teams are going to be playing in the Cup. And then the local derbies can go either way. You just got to make sure you're in it to win it, as it were. And I think our lads are.
And there was a bit of an update online yesterday about Aaron Jarvis and his injury. That must have been quite good news for you.
It was great news from what we might have thought. What Jarvis might have thought, I mean, he was like a spring chicken yesterday as far as when he knew the result wasn't going to spoil his season or spoil his career. You know what I mean? Because you never know. It's something that didn't need an operation, so that's very important. And it was probably the best news that we could have had, other than if he goes to Lourdes, he'd be ready for tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Well, that's unfortunately not going to be the case. But so it's still going to be 8 weeks or so, but it's much better than we thought it might be.
And in those 8 weeks, the search goes on. You're still looking, if there's a loan player out there who fits, you're still looking
for... Yeah, a loan or a permanent. I said to you last week, we had an offer or two out there. Teams, if they're decent, these players, then teams don't want to lose their players at this stage. You can't get anyone out of the Premiership on loan because of the rules. You have to wait till January. So the search goes on, and it really does. And you ask me every week, quite rightly. And we've had a lot of phone calls. We've had a lot of discussions with agents, with clubs, but with players, because sometimes clubs allow you to talk to players. But everything has to, all the dominoes have to be in place, if you like. And if one goes down, unfortunately, you don't get your man. So you probably have a lot of them until you find the man that's absolutely perfect and it all goes through well.
Have you had to put your arm around Ross Marshall a bit this week? Sort of three penalties in four games. I know that you'll look at those penalties and say they probably weren't deserved, it's still a bit of weight on him, isn't it?
Yeah, it does, because... But we got to keep our faith in him.
Yeah.
For the simple reason, I think it's four penalties in the season, was it? Three that have been recent. And two of them weren't penalties. And so what do? You drop him when you believe they weren't penalties. As I said to you, we believe in our squad. So we haven't picked the team yet, so he may or may not play. having said that, we had a great run and he was part of that, as most of these boys were part of a good run. And you can be unlucky in them situations where decisions go against you. It's tough at the minute because there's a lot of, when you're not winning games regularly after winning games, you have to really fight your way through it, and you need that little bit of luck. Lady Luck needs to be with you. And some decisions and some little bits of play and us being an inch away from getting a couple of goals at the right times, and then it's all different. But you've got to keep going. You've got to keep fighting through it, and that's what we do. That's what we do for the players. We make sure they're mentally strong, because you couldn't say they gave up. on Saturday, because we had 70 odd possession and 30 crosses, 15 corners. You know, imagine there was lots going on. We had more shots than the opposition. So, you know, sometimes you have to look at it from that point of view. But the stat that was the worst stat was we got beat 3-1, you know what I mean? And we've all seen football matches where that happened, so we just got to hope that things turn around for us. And we're trying. Nobody's feeling sorry for ourselves, certainly inside the camp. We'll fight our way through it and see where we are later on.
I've got the other regular question as well, just the shorter term injury. But any new, Mark Holster's patched up, is he? He's okay?
Yes, he's got quite a bit of a gash on his chin. That was a hell of a, and the other lad did as well on his head. Now it was a real 50-50 clash, Mark's chin and his head. So we're going to leave that to the last minute. He's been treated. He's been cleared of most things, and we just got to give him the extra few days. Be the last minute tomorrow, Thursday, which is the normal, press call. Then I might be able to tell you a bit more, but we'll see.
Tom Lapsley still a little way off, or
no, Lapsley's there or thereabouts. Again, we got 2 or 3 days to assess Tom. He's either played anyway, whatever he's got, you know.
Played a broken leg.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Well, he would, but it wouldn't last long. Tom, he's desperate to get back in the team, and he's an infectious player for us, and we need him quickly. So hopefully if it's this week, then great. Otherwise, I'm sure it could be Tuesday.
Yeah, so Dylan
was the other one I was going to ask.
Yeah, Dylan's is absolutely there. He's only days away. So if you take Laps and Dylan De Silva, they're days away. And as we speak, it's Wednesday, so we've still got 3 or 4 days if they survive Hurricane Kieran, whatever it is. So those two have been asked to, for us, not to pick a team too early.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, no problem.
And now for the good news.
So there's some good news on the injury front. Aaron,
By the way, I am writing this up today, and people would have read the good news already before the podcast comes out. It's going to get confusing.
You're confusing me again.
I mean, I can't keep it as a splash because they'll put it on the line.
They will.
Already.
But, I mean, there is good news. Aaron Jarvis, I hadn't realised when I saw him get injured at Western, and when you see it on the highlights on the YouTube.
On the YouTube that they have these days.
The young people like the YouTube. It didn't look as if, you know, he wasn't stretched off.
No.
He made his own way.
They did treat him for a long while, though. Yeah.
He was clearly in some pain. And as Gary was saying there were fears to begin with that it was a long-term injury.
So I spoke to Gary yesterday morning while I was just putting to bed the Herald Express, and I rang him basically just to see if there was any update on Aaron, because he'd already said, I think, in one of the interviews last week that the scans were done on Friday and they were expecting the results on Monday. So they were still kind of looking at the results, and off the record, it's since come out now, he sort of said, well, maybe looks a bit better than it was, but we're not absolutely sure. And I came away from that conversation thinking that we could be without Aaron Jarvis until the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's what Gary thought, and I think that's what a few other people thought, and thank God it's not the case.
So it'd be great. I mean, he has become our talisman, hasn't
he? Yeah. I mean, the people might be critical of his game, etc., but he is the best player we've got on the field, unless you... Yeah, especially when Tom Laps is not around.
Tiger Tom. Yeah. That's news, good news on Tiger Tom as well. But yeah, I mean...
So it could be a big Christmas present.
It's not just his goals, Jarvis. It's his work. It's his constant physical battling with defenders. He comes back.
I mean, the amount of chances he creates for Brad Ash to miss is incredible.
Well, that's hit the nail on the head. But yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. He does create chances.
Brad Ash will get his scoring boots on again, I'm sure. He's going for a moment, isn't he?
You feel? I think we had the same conversation 5-6 years ago about Jamie Reid.
Yeah, exactly.
And we said then, I think Dave said, when he gets one, he'll get 20.
Yeah.
And he did. And so you kind of think that Brad Ash, once he gets a couple more goals, he's already got 4 or 5 this season.
Yeah, 6, I think.
Once he gets a couple more, he'll be off and running. You know, he's one of those things with a striker. You say the old cliche, maybe he's trying too hard.
I think that's what it is.
He needs to scuff one in off his shin.
And, off his buttock.
Yeah, the Carl Airy style.
Yeah.
and he'll go on a run.
Yeah.
So.
That was a bit harsh, but, you know, I'm sure Brad Ash will come good again. And in the meantime, we have a new boy next to him.
We do. I mean, two new boys in.
Well, we do, yeah. But let's, injuries-wise, basically, Dylan De Silva and Tom Lapsley might, and I'm saying might, be available.
Might make Bath, and if not Bath, the level.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if anybody...
Which is brilliant news. Because
two big doubleheaders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brilliant news on Tom Lapsley. I mean, that could be the best news of the week. But after only losing Aaron Jarvis for a bit of the season. But also Dylan De Silva, the pace that he has, if he was playing with a minor injury and it wasn't working, was it? He was struggling.
Yeah.
And Gary said that after he'd had the break from the injury that his game is all about the pace and he wasn't Absolutely. He wasn't able to play 100%. So if he comes back and he brings his pace back and his cutting inside and trickery, and it'd be interesting to see.
Because I mean, if we for argument's sake, this is without factoring in the new loan signings, but if we were able to play with Jack Stobbs on one flank, Dylan De Silva on the other, Lewis Collins maybe playing in behind Brad Ash as the strikers, you've got Callum Dolan who will come on to in a minute.
Yeah.
And Theo Williams is a wild card to throw in.
Yeah.
We look a decent side.
Yeah.
You know, we're just shipping goals when we shouldn't be shipping goals. Let's talk about Hampton and Richmond very, very briefly. Hall got a goal, which I'm very pleased about. I didn't talk to Gary this week about it because it's just the same old conversation again, but at the end of the game, George Edwards found himself confronted by a fan, as you know,
and some fans with a video camera. So we've all seen a bit of that.
And Ross Marshall also confronted by a fan. I was interested in that one particularly, and somebody went on social media and said, "Well, they must suspend Ross Marshall." Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's a photo, isn't it? It's not a video. Photo.
If somebody came up to me after I put my heart and soul to the very best of my ability into 90 minutes of football, and somebody suddenly starts shouting at me that I'm a liability and that
don't they do that anyway?
Now you come to mention it. I wouldn't be able to not bite on that one.
And but you're not a professional footballer. To be fair, he probably shouldn't have bitten.
I'm not gonna criticise Ross Marshall for biting there. No. I would have. Most of our listeners would have. Even our mildest mannered listener would have had something to say about
what, that. What, Hayden?
could be Hayden. But I don't criticise Ross Marshall for that at all. In fact, more players with
passion.
He has given away a load of penalties, at least two of them disputed whether they were penalties.
Yeah, Gary can say that, but
he's in the eye of the storm.
There's no coincidence that we've given away 4 penalties and been sent off once this season, is it?
No,
And last season he was of a similar ilk as well.
He's got a card
when he played.
I think he's a massively improved player.
Yeah, he is a better player than he was last season.
And I would not be among the people saying that he shouldn't have gone back at the fan.
Okay.
If you dish it out, you've got to be able to take it.
Yeah. So. Well, there is that. There is a thought in our modern society where you can say what you want to someone, but as soon as they turn around and say something back, they're the...
Yeah, I don't buy that.
B-A-S.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. So there you go. That's my two penneth.
Thank you.
As the bloke on The Simpsons says.
Yeah.
On that one.
By the way, listen, there was a crowd of protesters outside Guy's house on the way back. So yeah, get Guy out.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to please all the people. No. Because, you know, our podcast is different from other podcasts. We take a different approach.
We're the
original. The other podcast is great. It's the Talky Talk, Talking Talky podcast.
Pardon me?
Whichever one it is, I always mix them up. But it's a superb podcast, and kudos to the guys who do it. It's really, really good. But we have kind of a slightly different approach, and we'll continue to do so.
Let's talk about the Fleetwood Boys.
Theo Williams.
Yep.
A forward, 20 years old.
Yep.
A rocket ship, by all accounts. He's got pace.
Is that official?
He's officially a rocket ship.
Okay. He's going to send us to the moon.
He's on loan from Fleetwood. Obviously, Gary's son is in charge of Fleetwood.
Yeah, just taken over at Fleetwood.
We've picked up two lads from Fleetwood this week. Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it, but it probably does fuel the fire of some people who say, what about the scouting system?
He started at Sheffield United,
yep.
Theo Williams. He's had loan spells at places like Farsley, Celtic and Darlington.
Yeah.
But Fleetwood moved for him, you know, he was playing very well.
Do you reckon this is the furthest south he's ever come?
Probably is. He's been at Fleetwood, Sheffield, where's Farsley?
Farsley's in Leeds, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
We played them, didn't we? Yeah. I should know that.
Blue Square South, yeah.
So Farsley, Fleetwood,
Blue Sheffield. Blue Square League, what they call it? It was just the Blue Square Premier League, wasn't it? Yeah.
They gave away laptop cases, you know, and Tomo's still got one.
Is he?
He's made
He doesn't chuck much away, does he?
He's made that last, absolutely. He's still got an old Watney Cup bag somewhere, I expect. And the other player that we picked up who played last week and by all accounts was very good.
Yep.
Is Callum Dolan. He's 23 years old. Yep. Midfielder.
Checkered history.
Yes. He was in the Manchester United Academy.
For 6 years or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's
and then
got
dropped
something.
Down through to non-league. Then did well at his last club and attracted Fleetwood. So,
I mean, at 23, he's not a spring chicken.
No.
In football terms. So he's played some football, looks good, had plenty of shots.
Had six shots and three on target, I think, which is the most of anyone on that pitch on Saturday. Interestingly, Gary talked about the stats of that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I know stats are stats and goals are goals, do you know what I mean? But Torquay were far superior in the stat columns than Hampton.
So what's going wrong? Is it defensive mistakes and profligate finishing in the front?
I think that's what it is.
It's, you know, that's the problem with not sharp.
Which you ain't going to win games with if you're making mistakes at the back and not scoring goals at the front.
So we're just not quite sharp enough. No. I don't know how.
But Callum Dolan did look, or did, I wasn't there. Sounds like he had a good game. I listened to Ian and Dom.
Is he the player?
Because it's increasingly difficult to find where Torquay reports are on the radio.
I know.
You go, you ask Alexa to put Radio Devon on, and it used to just be Torquay straight away. Obviously, there was all three teams playing and Chiefs on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you go onto the app on the Sounds app, and you still can't find it on there. So I often wonder where it is. They're doing it because they talked to the guys before the game.
I was following social media feeds, that's how I kept up.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a frustrating way to keep up with the game, but fair play to everybody who's providing the social media updates. Can Callum Dolan fill that Kevin Dawson gap?
Well, that's what you would like.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's closer to that kind of player than anyone we've had up until now this season.
So
Apart from Kevin Dawson, who hasn't kicked a ball.
The arrival of these two does give you some selection dilemmas.
With the possibility of Messrs. De Silva and Lapsley coming back as well.
If you've got Tiger Tom, Callum Dolan and an on-form Brett McGavin in the centre of midfield.
Yeah. And you've been playing Lewis Collins there as well.
Yeah, but maybe that then allows you to play Stobbs wide. Maybe you play Theo Williams wide.
Yeah.
And you play Ash and Collins through the middle.
Yeah.
Have I given us 12 players instead of 11 there?
Probably. It's the old thing about Stuart Pearce writing down his first ever As caretaker at Man City or Nottingham Forest, whichever it was. It was his first ever managerial job, and he sat down at the kitchen table, wrote out a team, and said to his missus, "Look at this, what do you reckon?" She went, "You've only got 10 players."
We won't do that. I think I've given us an extra player there, but it'll be really interesting to see what team Gary picks, because he has options.
Options, and we haven't had options for a little while.
We haven't. You wouldn't drop Brett McGavin at the moment. Or would you, if Callum Dolan is the player? Tom Lapsley, you would never...
I'm not saying...
You wouldn't go to battle with that Tiger Tom,
would you? I'd have Tom and Dolan on the pitch at the moment, and then one of another.
Yeah.
Brett McGavin had that really good run when we were winning and everything. But he had Will Jenkins-Davis in the team next to him. And I think that meant a lot to... McGavin's game.
You've got Asa Hall, who is approaching 90-minute fitness.
Whether he's the Asa Hall of a couple of seasons ago is a different matter.
And so there are options. Yeah. You know, at your left-back position, Krask is playing well, Moxie's playing well. Sean Donnellan isn't doing bad at all out on the right now. He's really worked himself into that position.
Yep.
Will Ross Marshall play? It was interesting what Gary said in the press conference, that maybe he will, maybe he won't.
I think he would have said that about any player. I think.
True.
Despite Gary saying that he doesn't know the team for Saturday already, I think he probably does. I mean, the caveats to that would be the fact that he's probably waiting on confirmation of the fitness of the injured duo.
I think it's going to be quite interesting. So Bath are third at the moment. They were second. They are third. They've only won two of their last seven games, clutching at straws here, Rich. Yeah, well, they started brilliantly.
Yeah. They've been top, haven't they?
But they wobbled.
I think Yeovil knocked them off the top. There's Yeovil are pulling away, we can all see that. But underneath that, no one's really doing much.
Avely have gone second.
Yeah.
They've
probably got nosebleeds.
We've played Bath four times.
Yeah.
Won three of them.
Yeah.
Lost one.
Yeah.
The last time they were at Playmore was August 2018, five and a bit years ago, and Liam Davis scored the only goal of the game. We won 1-0. They're a good side, Bath. There is one great story attached to Bath, and that's Alex Fletcher.
Yeah.
Who every football fan of every club.
That was an advertising hoarding, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's happy, yeah. Happy to see Alex. He's a local lad, Alex. He's back in the game. He was very badly injured in November last year.
Yeah.
During a game for Bath, when he went off the pitch and collided with an advertising hoarding.
Yeah.
He was in a coma.
Yep.
He had to learn to walk and talk again.
But now he's scoring goals.
He's scoring goals. And he's playing football for Bath.
Yeah.
He was at Plymouth Argyle, came on loan to us.
Yep. Ended up at Tiverton.
Yeah.
Did really well at Tiverton, and then that's when Bath came in for him.
Good play. He's got family in Torbay, obviously. There's not a soul at Playmore who won't be happy to see him on the pitch on Saturday. I would be very happy to see him on the pitch on Saturday. I'd be quite
happy to see him on the pitch in a Torquay shirt.
Yes. I'd be happy to see him on the pitch, and then they could take him off after 10 minutes. Just give him a cameo.
Yeah, just a minor tweak that keeps him out for the one game.
But he scored 28 goals in 67 games.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
Bath. His strike rate is pretty good.
Yeah.
So he's a player to watch. But the local derbies just keep on coming.
Yeah, we've got derbies coming out of our proverbials, haven't we?
I did wonder what you were going to say. Because we've got... Let's have a look at my office diary here. Look at this. Old-fashioned office diary.
It's like the internet never happened.
It never happened here. Home to Yeovil on Tuesday, away at Havant and Waterlooville.
Yeah.
Next Saturday, they're home to Weymouth.
Yeah.
On the 14th, and then surprise, surprise, home to Yeovil again.
I thought you were going to turn into Cilla Black then.
Surprise, surprise, Yeovil again on the 18th.
Yeah, because that's the FA Trophy.
Away at Taunton on the 21st.
Yeah.
And then Dartford away.
That's not local.
On the 25th. No, that's very much not local.
No, but they've got a tunnel.
They have got a tunnel, just like Farnborough.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a high-pressure set of games, isn't it?
Yeah, we sound quite jovial, don't we? But honestly, we've got to pick up some points. I know Gary says that we're only, 4 points, or what is it, 3 points behind third place or whatever. Yeah, we are. Well, but we can't afford Yeovil to get too far ahead because we don't want to be scrapping for that bloody playoff place.
We don't. No, we don't. We want to be vying for the top spot. Yeah. We should be. Everybody said at the start of the season that our yardstick, that I wrote the measure of our success this season is Yeovil.
Yeah.
We should be shoulder to shoulder with Yeovil, and at the moment we're not.
No.
But there's 30-odd games left.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tuesday night, there'll be a big crowd at Playmore on Saturday for Bath. Some fans saying boycott the Bath game. That's idiotic.
Some fans saying boycott, and then the boycotts never happen, so people aren't listening to them.
But as
I mean, they might not come, but you know, hey ho.
That doesn't hurt anybody apart from your football.
Yeah, exactly. And yourself. And yourself. You're missing the football. You might be missing a big win like I did the other day. Yeah. But when you boycotted by waiting for a sofa to be delivered.
It's a lovely sofa, I'll show you.
Oh, yeah.
As so often happens as well, in the weekend after, people start talking about protests and things like that.
Yeah.
Talkie score 4 or 5 goals. Yeah. It's happened several times.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting a big score against Bath.
Good.
On Saturday. I'm setting myself up to be placarded here, aren't I? But there we go.
Get Guy out.
Tuesday, Yeovil, Mark Cooper still in charge there. They've won their last 7 games.
Yeah.
They've won 4 at home and 3 away.
They've done all right, haven't they?
They've done okay.
Yeah, because they started pretty poorly.
They did. Yeah. They had a very average start to the season, but then they've suddenly hit their stride, and it's up to the goals to knock them out of that stride. There's so many. I mean, we've played them 17 times in competitive fixtures. We've won 8, drawn 4, lost 5, so we've got the edge over them just about. The last time they were at Playmore was on Boxing Day 2022.
Yeah, remember that.
Drew one each. Mark Ellis, now of Chorley FC, was our goal scorer that day. Players that
formerly of Yeovil, of course.
Formerly of Yeovil. Yeah. Former Torquay players currently in the Yeovil side, Jamie Sendles-White.
Okay.
Alex Fisher.
Yeah.
Reece Murphy.
Yeah.
And Frank Blumin Nublé.
Yeah, that's officially his name.
That is his name. Yeah. Frank Nublé, who we all kind of hoped would give us another season.
Yeah.
He came in, for people with short memories, he came in on loan at the end of last season.
After almost joining Yeovil then.
Yeah. Ex-Chelsea, ex-West Ham, played in the Champions League.
Yeah.
A little while ago. But Yeovil thought they had his signature on a piece of paper when Torquay came in with a more tempting offer.
And he did all right.
He did okay. Scored some goals. Scored our last goal of last season. Scored against Wrexham in the last
game. Inside off the wing. Do you remember that? He's got more to his game than just belting the ball at the goal.
He crossed from the left a number of times when you weren't expecting him to. He went darting off to the left. And so we'll have to watch that on Tuesday night. A game against Yeovil is always to be relished, isn't it? It's
I hate them.
They haven't got that picture of Gary on the stadium anymore.
No,
either.
No.
They've painted over that now.
Well, it's unlikely to be painted on Playmore before the game either at the moment.
It's not. No, it's. But you know, who wouldn't be looking forward to these two games?
Yeah, no, there's going to be a crack. I mean, if we win them, brilliant. Yeah. I think Gary. Probably didn't do himself any favours by 3 games ago saying we've got to win these 3 games and then only winning one of them.
Yeah.
Doesn't help when you kind of... it's one of those things that us as journalists pick up from 25 minutes of chat and highlight that when there's lots more to, you know...
One thing comes out, doesn't
it? One thing jumps out. And,
but Gary knows. Gary knows when he gives us a soundbite because he's been dealing with oiks like us for 40 years. Yeah. Gary knows what he's doing, but these are huge games. We could be sitting here this time next week with no more points. We could lose both of these games. We could 6 points, 4 points, 3 points, 2 points, you know, anything we can get out of these two games. I think
they're big games. Yeah, you're right, they are big
games. But you know, there'll be big crowds there, hopefully.
Well, you hope
And you know, people enjoy it.
It's been so disappointing that they've kind of just lost these last 2 games, in the way that they have.
Yeah,
it's just. I mean, you were at Wrexham and
Weston.
Wrexham
Supermare.
Yeah, Wrexham. You were at Wrexham Supermare.
Yeah.
Um,
And it was, yeah, it was a fair, it was such a disappointing night. It was a poor performance. It was pouring the rain. Western enjoyed themselves. And why wouldn't they? If you were a Western fan, you'd have enjoyed that.
Yeah, of course.
Mightily. We had two players. We finished, as you say, we finished with nine men. We had two players limping down the tunnel.
It was a disastrous game, wasn't it, really, when you look back on it. I mean, we lose our key striker until Christmas, probably, of that game. At least Dean Moxey got up and rubbed a bit of Vaseline on his coat.
On his cut. Yeah. And Mark Holstead, by the sound of it, has done the same. That was a nasty injury. Yeah. But bad cut
on his chin, apparently. Yeah.
But I mean, Reece Lovett came on. Reece Lovett's fine. Reece Lovett, we've seen him.
The third goal, he would have never stopped anyway, and it was just a breakaway goal. And that happens when you're chasing the game like that.
Saw Reece play at Wimbledon.
I don't think they should be allowed those goals. They can stand on the pitch, but afterwards you should just be able to chalk them off. Oh, that breakaway goal at the end. You know, forget that one. Just don't put that in the stats.
Yeovil in the cup coming up. I noted that down. Who'd have thought
trophy.
In the trophy.
Yeah.
We could have been, as Aaron Down said just now, we could have been drawn away at Dover.
Yeah, I guess so. But I just looked at it and thought, oh, that's rubbish.
Home to Yeovil. Well, I love a cup game now. We're out of the FA Cup.
Yeah, I guess the trophy is one of those things that, again, I think we say it every season that we're in non-league. You don't get excited about the trophy until the quarterfinals, do you?
And
you're not too bothered if you go out before the quarterfinals.
That's true. That is
especially when there's so much more on the agenda.
One of the things we're starting this new notebook, Rich, before we go, and we've got a couple of other bits. Julian sent us a couple of bits of news as well.
You've moved the phone. Crack and crackle. Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
That was very unprofessional. Yeah. But I thought I might look back and see exactly what were we talking about this time last year. We were looking forward to the Derby game on this podcast last year.
Okay.
Derby County were coming in the cup on the following Saturday. Yeah. We just got pounded 4-0 at Notts County.
Yeah.
But we had just beaten, we'd responded by beating Aldershot 6-1.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
With goals from, three from Jarvis.
Was that home?
Yeah.
Yeah, were you there?
Lapsley, Goodwin and Hall, I was there. Yeah. I did see that one. I did actually see.
Whenever it's a big score, I do wonder if you were there.
But we'd had an awful defeat at Notts County and we came back to beat Aldershot
6-1.
We did,
yeah.
Now, Bath are not Aldershot, but there's no reason why we can't turn this around and say, well, let's give it a go, shall we?
Yeah, let's be positive.
We had used 29 players up until this point. I haven't looked, actually, but we've used an awful lot of players.
Yeah, we haven't used that much this season.
We haven't. We'd had all that kind of, all those kind of problems. But there we go. Derby, we were looking forward to. That was some game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a good game.
Came from behind to draw 2 each.
Yeah.
And then got battered in the replay.
Yeah.
Which was a good one.
It's good.
Little bit of news then. Louis Britton, remember him? We had him on loan from Bristol City.
Yes. He was all right.
Decent. He's playing for Maldon and Tiptree at the moment. He's on loan from Chorley to Maldon and Tiptree.
Wow, he was better than that, wasn't he?
He scored a hat-trick in a 5-1 win over Stowmarket.
He's obviously better than that then.
Those are places that you know, aren't they? Maldon, Tiptree, Stowmarket.
I do. We're talking Eastern Counties.
Is it Suffolk, Stowmarket?
League. It's Suffolk, Stowmarket.
And Maldon and Tiptree is Essex, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's Eastern Counties League, which was a bit out of my area. I had one team when I lived in Cambridgeshire. God, Manchester Rovers played in the Eastern Counties League.
I never heard of them.
Well, you have now.
Have now. But, so Louis Britton's playing in the Far East.
Is he?
It's certainly Far East for me.
Yeah.
I mean, London's Far East.
So Stowmarket's going to get the next World Cup?
Yeah, what's that?
Imagine that.
Why not? Well, to be honest, there's Stowmarket are probably getting bigger attendances than most of the games in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, exactly. They've dropped, haven't they? They got all these players in and the attendances have dropped.
I mean, there was that
classic. It's almost as if most people over there aren't bothered about football.
Exactly not. Exactly. They're playing in front of smaller crowds than the Isthmian League teams.
Wow.
Jordan Henderson, bless him, Jordan Henderson, a wholehearted player, heart's in the right place, you would have said, but decided to secure his and his family's future by getting a payday out there. And he's playing in front of 700 people.
Wow.
And in front of about 700 people, Dulwich Hamlet picked up their first away win of the season. Thank you, Julian.
Dulwich Hamlet.
Julian's been in France this week and he's been spending far too much time reading.
Has he been Julien?
Yes. He's been reading the Nantes paper while he's been away.
The French edition.
They won 3-2 at Wingate and Finchley.
Okay.
And that's the first away win under Hakan Hayrettin this season for Dulwich Hamlet. And we like Hakan.
Yep.
So we hope Dulwich Hamlet do well.
Yep.
So that's a little bit of an Isthmian League roundup.
You said that very well.
Thank you. The FA Vase comes up not this weekend, next weekend,
doesn't it? The 11th.
Brixham are at Cowes.
Yeah. So Brixham have got their trip to the Isle of Wight.
We'll talk
about
that.
Let's hope there is still a Cowes after Storm Ciarán.
I know. Well, you see that, I mean, a lot of the weekend's games, people will be watching these grounds. If as much rain falls as appears to be the case on the BBC weather map, it's going to be a soggy old
pitch. It's not that windy today either, which is, you know, if you listen to the BBC today, it sounds like it's going to be...
It's coming late today.
Horrific.
And then through tomorrow towards the weekend.
I've got some big trees in my garden. I don't like that.
Yeah. I'm hoping my begonia survives.
Yeah.
That's... It survived against all odds so far.
Where is it?
It's the red one in the pot.
I think you should bring that in, Guy. That doesn't look very...
it survived everything
standing
so
out
far.
There like a...
But I'm not sure the shed's going to make it.
Like a beacon for the wind.
Yeah, indeed. So wherever you're listening, batten down the hatches.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
Stay safe, as everyone has to say nowadays at the end of everything they say.
And if you've been affected by any of the issues in this week's podcast...
Hard luck.
If only we had a number you could ring.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We will see you at Playmore on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait in for furniture
this week. I'll give you a wave.
I will be there on the pop side, just about opposite the players tunnel is where I tend to stand.
Go and do your protests over near Guy. Get Guy out.
We've said our piece, and... Other people have said there's everyone's entitled to an opinion on this.
Good news this week. It's all good news this week. Until 5 o'clock on.
We can only get through this as
together.
A unit.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah,
stronger
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get through this, is to to bond together, everybody from Clark and George down to us.
Of course, it is easier to do it together if they're talking to you.
It is.
Yeah.
And there's a fans forum.
Yes.
Next week.
Yes, Wednesday.
Wednesday night at the Livermead Cliff.
Yeah.
I always mix me.
That's where I got married.
Did you? Of course you did. I was there.
Yeah.
The Livermead Cliff, it's 7 o'clock start. First come, first served. It's not massive.
It's also on Zoom, though.
It's on Zoom. That will be
interesting. I don't think they've released how to do that yet, but I'm sure they will.
I don't know who's going to be there.
But we know one person's not going to be there.
Go on.
George Edwards said he wouldn't be there.
Fair enough.
Because he has nothing to say, apparently.
See, I wonder whether... See, we almost finished this podcast, but
I think that's the wrong place for George Edwards to be, but he could be more communicative.
There's a word that's fallen into disrepute these days because all the conspiracy theorists use it, but a reset... would be a good thing for us all at this club.
Yeah.
Everybody reset. Okay, this is where we are. Let's go from
here. Let's move forward.
And then if we get a battering on Saturday, I'll get abuse all over social media again.
Again.
But there you go.
It's the times we live in.
Enjoy your football, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
We will, whatever happens. And we'll see you at Playmore on Saturday.
Stay safe.
Do you know what we're going to say all the way through the game on Saturday?
Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up.